Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Still to come, books for Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, which is May. Our favorite librarian, Lorene Roy, is here to tell us about some wonderful books. But first, we continue our series on Investing 101. We're going over the basics. We thought that new graduates might find this of particular interest, but we think there's something useful here for everybody. Maybe you can use a refresher. Maybe you never had anybody make it simple for you. That's why we're here. Over the last couple of weeks, our money coach, Alvin Hall, has talked with us about stocks and then bonds. Today, he's here to tell us how to start building an investment portfolio. Welcome back, Alvin.
I'm glad to be here.
All right. Again, we're talking the basics. So tell us, what's a portfolio?
A portfolio is what you hold your stocks and bonds in. It's your investment account. And generally, a portfolio will consist of three main items: the stocks or mutual funds that you hold, the bonds or bonds mutual funds that you hold, and in cash. So view it as a pie with three sections in it. That's your portfolio.
Now, how do you start to figure out how big each slice of the pie should be?
There are generally three widely advised ways to divide your money. The first is called the 60-40 plan, or the balance fund. You would put 60% of your assets in blue chip stocks and 40% in fixed income securities like bonds. And then once a year, on a designated date, the end of the year, your birthday, you would then rebalance.
Mm-hmm. And when you say rebalance, what do you mean?
You, for example, if the stocks have gone up and you've had great advances in stocks, then you would sell off the stocks and put the money in bonds to take it back to the 60-40 ratio. Meanwhile, if stocks have gone down in value, you would sell off some of the bonds and put the money in stocks, buying stocks when they're low and hoping to get further appreciation. But Michelle, there are also two other models that people can use. Another one that people use to divide between stocks and bond is 100% minus your age. So, Michelle, let's say that you are 35.
Let's say that.
That means you would hold 65% of your assets in stocks and 35% in bonds. As you get older, every year at your birthday, you would again rebalance the portfolio. So what you're doing as you grow older, you're becoming more and more conservative, locking more and more of your money in fixed income securities.
And the logic there is that you have fewer years to work and fewer years to recover from any losses.
Exactly.
So you're going to want to start shifting your portfolio to these more safe investments, so that if losses are sustained, you're not going to be wiped out just at the point when you need to retire, when you're not in a position to command as much income. Now, is this something that you should do with a broker, or is this something you can do yourself? Because remember, we talked about the fact that a lot of people just starting out, they're going to want mutual funds. They're going to want to sort of just buy into a stock fund or perhaps a bond fund or something like that. And so how does this get taken care of? Is there like a box you check off that says I want to be rebalanced every year, or how does that work?
You have to decide when you want to do it every year. And you should always do it either at tax time, on your birthday, or at the end of the year. You have to sit down and look at the value of your holdings and do it for yourself.
And you also said cash should be part of this conversation. How much cash should be part of this? Or do you consider the cash fund that you're always telling folks to try to put aside, is that part of your portfolio or is that something else?
I consider the cash that you hold on side as your safety net to be a part of your portfolio. And that money is there to save you in case something goes wrong, to give you some breathing room.
Now, Alvin, a lot of people who are going to be listening to this are going to be saying, now, some people listening to this are going to say, sure, sure, I get it all. But there are some people who are going to be saying, listen, I've got $2,000 to put away, or I'm just, you know, what does this have to do with me?
Okay. If you have $2,000 to put away and you can afford to put away $2,000 every year into a well-chosen mutual fund, that money will grow at a substantial rate over 20 years and you will wake up one day and have more money than you ever imagined you would if you have the discipline to stick to the plan. I don't believe, Michelle, in the sleeping beauty idea of investing. You put your money away, you close your eyes, and you wake up and suddenly there's a rich Prince Charming in front of you. It doesn't work that way in real life. You have to have a lot of discipline and stay the course and rebalance your portfolio.
And stay awake and pay attention.
And there's a third method that, and I like this for young people in particular, and this is called core and explore. So let's say you're young and you're starting your very first job and you're in your 401k program at your job. Look at a big cap fund, a company that invests in something like Johnson & Johnson, IBM, Exxon, some of the big companies that have a long history, that becomes the core of your investment portfolio. And then, as you gain much more experience in the marketplace and become interested in other areas like in technology or in biotech, then you use a small portion of the new money you have to explore these additional areas. What that does is to keep your main amount of money into big cap stocks. So you may not have the greatest return, but you also won't have the greatest losses in the market. Meanwhile, you use a little money to boost that in one of these new areas.
And big cap means what?
Big cap means the largest companies around. So a company like Google is a big cap or large cap company.
Okay. Alvin, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about fluctuations in the stock market and, and what all that means. Are there some people who should just stay out of the market altogether, who just say to themselves, I just can't take that. My nerves can't take that.
Yes, there are many older people who should not be involved in the stock market at all. One, because they're retired and they're concerned about their money disappearing. And to watch your money fluctuate day to day can be very unsettling. And there are many young people, like myself, when I started out. I really, for years, could not afford to have my money at risk going up and down because I had student loans to pay back. I had rent to pay. I barely had enough money left over for food. To turn to the stock market to try to get a high return and boost your money also exposes you to risk. Think very hard when you are investing about how you will feel if your money drops 5% in value, 10% in value, 20% in value. If any of those drops will disturb you, then the stock market is probably not the place for you.
Also, Alvin, I was hoping at some point you would teach us how to read a stock table.
Oh, I'd love to do that. We can do it in the next one if you want.
I think people see those figures if they watch, you know, MSNBC or CNBC, and they see those numbers, you know, crawling across the bottom of the screen.
Yes.
And they're wondering, you know, what is that? Well, this is your chance to find out what that is, right?
I can do that. Okay. I'd love to talk about P.E. ratios.
Okay. I'm not so excited, but that, well, here we go.
I'll make it interesting for you.
Okay. Our financial expert, Alvin Hall, joined us from our New York bureau. As always, Alvin, thanks so much.
Glad to be here.